Howdy, hi, and hello. Welcome to another exciting episode of HomeKit Insider. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal and the discredited creator of the Snuggie, Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
Doing well. I like it. You had three H's, I think, for the greeting today. That's pretty good. Alliteration, yes, as they call it. Alliteration.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to talk about AirTags a bit today, but before we do, we'll hit some quick HomeKit news items. Akara, there's something that looks to be listed, maybe coming soon, the Akara Hub E1, which is like this stick-like hub, which would, you know, kind of go up flush against a wall, has like a USB port coming out. So if you're in that Akara family or wanted to try out some Akara switches, I know for our friends in the UK and abroad, that was one of the recommendations for light switches over there. But the Akara Hub E1 looks like it might be coming soon. But also, they have another hub which was recently launched. I think we mentioned it before, but it's the Akara Hub M2. And I actually got one of these hubs. It is very sleek, looks very nice. I think it is much improved over the original Akara Hub, the big white speaker thing. This thing is pretty cool. It's got some lights. It actually has an Ethernet port, so you can do Ethernet power or plug Ethernet directly in to the M2 hub. And so if you're looking for Akara devices, want to get in that world, I would recommend that M2 hub. But anyway, they got some cool stuff coming down the line.
Real quick, what changed on that M2 hub? Because I know there are a few differences. There's some new features like Ethernet, but then they also dropped a few features, didn't they? Does this act as the alarm system? Yeah, this can be used as an alarm system, right?
Yes.
Was anything else changed between this and the first generation one?
It also has built-in IR control. And so if it's near some of your devices and you want to control like a dumb TV or AC window unit or TV box or something like that, this actually acts as an IR blaster, which is pretty cool. And they also added, I think they better like improved the Wi-Fi, and they're using
dual Wi-Fi antennas now. Can I rake them over the coals for 1 second though?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Why does this have micro USB?
Yeah.
Why?
People do that. I mean, companies still do this. I guess, is it still a money-saving thing, like USB-C to get whatever licensing or whatever is pricey?
That's a thing that I heard, but it was like a year or more ago.
Yeah.
From a very big-name company that does a lot of like really nice stuff. And it was like a big company, and they were doing this to save stuff. So I can see a smaller company doing it to save even more. But to me, it's just unacceptable to launch a product in 2021 and throw micro USB on there. It's ridiculous, and that's going to frustrate me to no end.
Yeah, so this says, one of the features on the Akara site says, it can be powered by any 5-volt power source, by the USB-C. You can even use a battery backup using like a power bank, which I guess you could argue that a lot more power banks have micro USB, maybe?
No, because it's an output. So you're doing whatever output from
That doesn't matter.
The battery pack. Nope, doesn't track.
False. Okay, so
nice
never mind.
Try.
Yeah.
You tried.
Should be USB-C. They include the cable and all, obviously, but yeah, I agree with you. I would want everything to be USB-C. And this other hub stick looks like it's USB-A because it's actually going to be like holding up the entire hub from the USB-A plug. So I don't know. It's a little weird. Akara, if you're listening, get on that USB-C train. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So it also went from the original Akara hub had like Zigbee 1.2. The M1S, like the slightly upgraded version, did have Zigbee 3. And this new one does have Zigbee 3 as well. And it also has Bluetooth.
Right.
So there are some small changes going from the 1S to the 2. There's not a ton of differences. Probably the biggest thing for me is just the different form factor. Instead of plugging directly in, you can use that USB cable that's not USB-C.
Gotcha. All right, well, another piece of news. Hunter fans, which we've had lots of listeners over the past year talk about and ask, what are some smart ceiling fans, HomeKit? Hunter has been one of those brands that we could recommend for a while now because they're one of the few, if not only, correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, like ceiling fan-enabled HomeKit.
I think I'm trying to think from the top of my head if there's any others that are directly integrated, but I cannot think of any off the top of my head. And I don't want to Google lest my keyboard just make a bunch of typing noises on our recording right now.
No, it's all right.
But yeah, and I have a Hunter fan that I reviewed back when they launched. And the biggest thing that I would say is at that time, I had a ton of issues with it staying connected to the Wi-Fi. It kept jumping. Like almost all smart home products, it requires that 2.4 gigahertz network versus like a 5 gigahertz network. Right. And I had a bunch of issues with it staying connected, a lot of issues getting it paired initially. The best thing that I heard from anyone was, oh, well, you're just going to have to really break out your 2.4 network into a separate network and like specifically name it. I'm like, one, not doing that. I don't have to do that for any of my other products. And two, I'd have to like reset all my other products then to use that same network. Like, I'd have to rename my network, and then all my new smart home products or old products, I'd have to move over to that specific 2.4 network. And nothing else in my house was having issues except for that one thing. So I found that a bit ridiculous and egregious that that was their solution, was that I had to do something with my network instead of changing something on their product. And yeah, I have not tested one since then. I already want to try one of these. I already have a spot where I can put one. So I'm kind of thinking about it, because we've talked about our problems before of the lack of good solutions for HomeKit fan controls. Like the ones that are out there, like Lutron, don't allow you to control, the lights. You have to put like multiple switches in, and it can get complicated or messy or expensive. And the smaller of these is like $179, which I don't think is bad. And you, of course, get a whole ceiling fan as well as the stuff itself. So if you get an older fan, it might be a good idea to swap out the fan rather than trying to figure out something with the controllers in the wall.
Right. And so I did just a cursory search. It looks like Hunter is the only company that makes HomeKit-enabled fans built in. And these are two new models that Hunter's released. So they have several to choose from now, but the Aerodyne is $180, and the Stylus, which is a different design, will cost $330, but that's coming out later this year. So more options for HomeKit fans, at least from this one brand. And yeah, unless you do Hunter, you have to go with the in-wall control for Lutron and stuff like that. So yeah, new Hunter fans. Pretty cool. Before we get to AirTags real quick, I want to do a follow-up on the Eve contact sensor. We've talked about contact sensors in the past and a while ago, and I've had an Eve contact sensor, and I wasn't able to use it on my home doors because of the molding and trim, and it just didn't line up correctly. But I did bring it to an office situation, and because the door was like flush against the frame, I was able to use it, and just want to report that when it lines up and you can set it up correctly, it works like a charm. And the Eve contact sensor is super reliable. I used it in automation to turn on some lights whenever the door opens, and it works great and reliable and, battery powered. You change the battery, but I've had it for a while, and I tried setting up a months ago, and so battery's lasted pretty long so far.
This is the new one with Thread, right?
This is the new one with Thread. That's correct.
Okay.
But yeah, so my question is, for you, it's been really working well for me. I tried the VocaLink one in the past, and that works too, but what's kind of your favorite contact sensor, and how often do you feel like you have to change the batteries?
So I've used the Eve one since the original ones came out, and they haven't changed the design at all, which is both good and bad. It is a bit more chonky than some of the other ones that have come to market, but it does have a replaceable battery. It's pretty easy to set up and use, and they've got a bunch of little spacers in there to allow for different levels between like the door frame and the door. Though, of course, in some situations, you still can't use it. In my house, I primarily use the Bode IOTA. Bode has a big variety of different contact sensors. So they all work with its hub specifically. So you do need to have like the IOTA or their gateway to use those. And you have to make sure within range of that. So I have in a couple downstairs windows, I have like the Thread enabled ones from Eve. And anytime like that window is open, I'm not here, it would set off. And then the Abode has several different sensors because I have this, like our front door is like recessed a whole bunch. And it's like impossible to use like any contact sensors with it because there's like no room there. But Abode has this incredibly thin one that mounts like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's ridiculously thin for door frames like this, and it fits on there perfectly. So I have that tied to a bunch of them, and then I can use those to trigger my alarm system.
Okay.
So we set the Abode like at night, and then if any of the doors or windows open, or if you had any of they have like ones for like vibration or windows breaking, anything like that. So any of those would also set off the alarm. But primarily, I have all those door and window contact sensors going through that.
Got it. Okay. Very cool. Well, as we get to a listener question later, we can talk about more contact sensor options and things like that. But the big thing this week, we have AirTags in hand. I have mine right here. I got a pack of four when they came shipping last Friday and had one engraved. So I have five total and pretty cool. I don't know where to even start, Andrew. How many did you get?
We have five right now. I bought a solo one and then a four pack. So far I've given two to my wife and I've got three that I'm kind of dispersing on my gear.
Okay, very cool. So I got also some of the keychain things. I gave. I have one keychain thing, gave one to my wife. I do really like Apple's leather keychain. Just looks nice, feels nice, obviously fits the AirTag great. So I have that on my keyring. I also got the Belkin keyring, which is less expensive than the Apple one. I think the Belkin one was like $13 or whatever. It is plastic instead of the leather, but I'm using that for a garage key. It's on like a separate key ring and works great for that. You know, fits the AirTag perfectly and all that. So I got that key ring, but I do like Apple's leather key ring more for sure. And then I did one in a backpack that I'm carrying around. I did one on one of my kids' bags, one that he notoriously loses. So I did that. And then I also got two of the like luggage loop things that hold the AirTags. And I have to say, I'm not crazy about Apple's loop that goes on luggage and such. It's kind of, I don't know, it feels cheaper than what it is. I think it's like $30 from Apple. And so I wasn't crazy about that, but I put it on one of the backpacks and it works fine. So I don't know, what kind of accessories did you get with the AirTags and what do you think of those?
So I feel like we could talk about accessories so long for AirTag, but I got Apple's keychain, then I got both versions of their loops, both the like the polyurethane and the leather ones. I like their, and I also got the Belkin ones. Basically, I have everything that's out now. I have some from Spigen here. I got a bunch. I agree, like the leather that Apple, and this is not something new with these guys. Apple's leather always has a distinct feel to it, and I don't know if it's because they're trying to make sure it lasts a long time or trying to keep that consistent color, but it has a similar feel to how Apple's, like, a little bit like Apple's leather cases and Apple's leather sleeves, and it's always been described as, like, slightly plasticky feeling, but it still is, you know, genuine leather. Mm-hmm. I don't mind their loop at all. Like, I think it looks nice. I saw some people, like, trying to pull it tight, which is the part that's weird. Like, people, like, pull it too tight, and then it does, like, it's supposed to stay, like, right at that collar there, and I think it looks good. I don't have a problem with it. I do have one of those on one of my bags. What I would mainly say with the accessories is people shouldn't jump into anything too quickly unless they're specifically trying to get a really cheap one until they see something better that they like, which is insane because the price definitely adds up then. You're spending $30 on the tag and then you're going to spend, you know, we've seen a range of prices on accessories. Apple go up to like $35 or $40 and then there's, you know, the Belkin ones and other that are like $10-$12. ESR just showed some off, and I was showing those off in one of my new videos, and then Spigen has one here, and then we've seen, you know, a few different things from Moment, from Nomad. I've done videos on quite a few of these accessories that have launched, but the thing is, most of them are not available yet. It leaves people in a little bit of an awkward spot because they get their AirTag, and then they need to put it on their keyring or something, and there's no real options other than Apple's or a couple really cheap ones, and unfortunately, I can't say a lot on some of these things yet, but there are some cool options coming for AirTag in a variety of different applications.
Okay.
I can say that we might see some stuff this week that we're talking about on this show. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out. There's one Elevation Lab. They released a cool one that's like a freaking like tank that completely surrounds the AirTag and looks like it's like really rugged and waterproof. We saw one from Bullstrap. If you've heard about them before, they have a leather keychain that they're coming out with. But all this stuff is like up for pre-order. So it does leave everyone in a weird spot of like having to wait for these things to get created and released until then. So like Apple's are pretty nice, but it's kind of inexpensive if you ever did want to switch to something else. Like if you ever did want to go to the Nomad one or the Bullstrap one or anything like that for your, even just your keys, you have to like buy something cheap for now and then switch or just wait until other ones come out. So that's fairly unfortunate.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's cool. Yes, look for those accessories coming out because, yeah, it'd be good to have options. Just saying. on the engraved, you said you got one engraved, right?
Yeah, I got two engraved for Faith. I got one with her initials that in my mind would be good for like a luggage or something like that. And the other one, I got a little peace sign, which I thought is like, It's very similar to like the wave symbol for Jeeps. So I thought that could be like the one for her keys.
Oh, very cool.
So that was my thinking in my head.
Yeah, I got my initials engraved with a star emoji. Actually, star emoji first.
I guess they're not even really engraved. It's more of like printed on that white plastic.
Like printed. And so I had tweeted, this was the first Apple product I've ever gotten engraved. I don't know. I just never get something engraved because it's like, what am I going to put? And then most of the times I sell old Apple devices or trade them back in. And so I don't usually keep Apple devices forever. And so I typically don't do engraving. But with an AirTag, I feel like you can replace the battery, unlike many other Apple devices. You're going to be keeping it for a while. So I did do the initial engraving. And for something on like a keychain, which the leather keychain from Apple, you know, it's open in the front and back. So you see the Apple logo out the back of the keychain holder. And then whatever you have engraved, you actually see out the front. And so I feel like when it comes to AirTags, the front white part is pretty plain without an engraving. And if you're throwing it in a bag or, you know, luggage or something, then it doesn't matter. No one's going to see it. But for something that you're going to have on your keychain, I kind of like the idea of having the etching or engraving, whatever you want to call it. And it looks really cool. And so if you're going to get an AirTag and if it's going to be something on your keychain or maybe on the outside of your bag and some other accessory, I don't know. I would recommend getting it engraved. It's kind of fun.
Did you read Mr. William Gallagher's review of AirTag up on Apple Insider?
I did peruse it, not verbatim, so tell me what you're thinking.
I hope that William doesn't pull me behind a bar and beat me for this, but I disagreed a little bit with his 4.5-star rating of this. Honestly, a little shocked at how few features there are in this. Apple to have been working on it for so long. Like, we had heard, you know, reports of it. We thought this was going to launch at that September event in 2019.
Right.
And it didn't make it out until, you know, nearly 2 years later. So the fact that we thought it was ready back then, and Apple took another 2 years to refine it and everything, there's a lot of stuff in this that I feel is missing. A lot.
Really? Like what?
Well, let me list them for you.
List the ways.
First, Find My on the iCloud website still does not have an items tab, and you still can't find AirTags through there. You can't mark it as lost or anything like that. So if you were mugged and you had your freaking phone and key stolen or something like that, you can't go ahead and mark it, you know, lost or anything online. Or if you left like your bag with both those in there, something, you can't mark it lost online. I guess these are not really meant to help you like reclaim stolen items, but say you lost your bag with your phone and your AirTag in there. You could find your phone that way, but if you ever separated, you should be able to do that. It's the freaking Find My stuff on there. You should be able to find your AirTags that way or put them into lost mode. You also can't do anything from your Apple Watch. The Find My app on your Apple Watch is Find People, and you can only, you know, find your friends and family. You cannot find your items or your AirTag. I should be able to open that up and tap a button and have my AirTag ring if it's in, you know, Bluetooth proximity of me.
Right.
That seems like an easy missing feature. We also kept hearing about that AR mode that Apple was supposedly bringing, using that U1 chip. We already have that direction. We have the heading. We have our distance until we find our object. We have like its literal position in 3D space. Apple has done so much with AR and AR kit. Why isn't there that augmented reality mode where you can see the balloons hovering over your missing item? Like, we literally saw that in the code and it's still not here yet. So Is that still coming? Is that coming for just Apple's AR glasses sometime in the future? I don't know, but that seemed like a neat feature that we've heard. I believe Tile is working on an augmented reality mode like that. And other companies like Pixie, which is no longer even around, I think they were acquired or something, but they had a version of that. And that was like years ago. So why doesn't Apple have that with their own AirTags? I'm trying to think of what... Oh, there's no geofencing mode. So whenever you leave an object behind, you can't get an alert. Competitors have that. Tile has that. Chipolo has that. Like, all the other competitors have a, like, forget your item mode. And those can even be geofenced around your house. Like, oh, when you're in your house, it won't alert you. But if you leave your house and you leave your bag, your keys, something like that, you'll get an alert. AirTag doesn't have it. We also don't have family sharing at all. We talked about this before, how you can share, like, anyone who has your family that is in family sharing, they can disable the stalking alerts because they're probably going to have an AirTag going with them, but you can't actually share them. Faith cannot see where my stuff is. Faith cannot like help me find my lost items. Why? That seems ridiculous. Tile and everyone else, they have these sharing features. These seem like basic things. Apple's like, how much work have they done in the family sharing part with everything else that you can own? And yet there's nothing in there for AirTag, which makes really not a lot of sense. One of the listener questions that I have that's not in our list right now that I just remembered was about that, and he was really concerned that he was going to get nothing but alerts and all this other stuff. They don't make it clear, and it just seems like there's a lot of features missing from this product. Like, they work great, the precision tracking you're finding, fantastic, the U1 chip, all good, the design, I love. It just seems like it's missing a bunch of features at launch.
I guess I do agree with that. The Find My Family stuff, I feel like is the weirdest thing, because you've been able to do that with devices forever. You know, I can see, you know, my wife's different devices on the list and maybe ping them or mark them as lost if she can't. So I do agree that the family sharing thing would have been nice. But let me ask you this. I mean, as far as in use, I haven't lost anything yet, so I can't speak to how they work if something is totally gone. But being able to ping the sound is nice. You know, my wife pings her iPhone all the time from her Apple Watch just to find it in the house, and that's usually very useful. So being able to ping an AirTag on a keychain or something like that, that's pretty cool. The precision finding, you know, I've tried to use it as an example for people to say, hey, here's what you can do with an AirTag. And there were a couple times where it didn't give me the arrow right away. Like, the AirTag was very close. It was within 5 feet of me. And I don't know if it was some kind of interference or what was going on, but it took a while for the arrow to show up. I kind of had to move around the room for it to actually get a lock and show the arrow thing. So it kind of made for a not great example as I was trying to show people. So I don't know. I don't know if how it'll work in a house. You know, if you misplace your keys, but they're in the house, but you don't know where in the house and you try to find it. I haven't had that kind of experience yet, but how's it gone for you as you're trying that precision location tracking?
Yeah, so a few things on it. A video that's coming out today, it might be out by the time you're listening to the podcast. I did one on how to track your car with AirTag.
Oh, right.
Whether or not that's a good idea. I also did one on your pets and your children. Just everything. Just what you can track with AirTag, basically. And it kind of leads into that. So one, the reason you're getting that, like, you have to move around first is because they have to find your location, figure up from down, similar to when you're placing like an AR object. Like, if you ever used Apple's AR abilities in its website to visualize a product before buying it, whether it was AirTag or the new iMacs, you can literally place it on your desk and see it before you buy it. You can see the size, real life size and scale and everything like that. So they have to get a good idea of your positioning and scale and all of that. And that's likely to make more sense too as Apple actually does an AR mode, if they do in fact do that, where they're going to have to place, like right now, they're doing the same thing. They're just not showing you the overlay of your room, but they still have to figure out where you are in the room, how far you are away from that object, which direction it is, all of that. So that's why you have to move around first for the phone to kind of get its bearings before it can give you that actual arrow. And then going back to the car thing, I found this pretty neat. So one, I threw an AirTag in my car, I went inside a mall, and then I marked it as lost. And I wanted to see how long before it pinged me of where my car was. And it took about 10 minutes in that situation. But I will say I went to a Tuttle Mall or whatever in Dublin. There's not a ton of people around. There's a good amount of people, not a ton of people, and they're spread across like the entire parking lot. It's also not sure how many people are updated to the requisite version of iOS. Like, you can't be running like 0.4 or 0.3, something like that. You think you might be updated to the latest 0.5 update,
right,
to have like the AirTag features and everything. So anyone who's on an older version, they're not sending that location back to me. They're not able to do that until they had updated their device.
Right.
So one, not a ton of traffic, and two, not necessarily everybody was updated to 14.5. So I took those into consideration as I was like kind of analyzing that. But 10 minutes is like, I feel like that would go down once more people update. And two, if you're in a more populous area, I think that would be easier. Like, if you just parked your car somewhere, you weren't sure where you parked it, but it's on the street and you got people walking by everywhere, yeah, you're going to get pinged almost instantly when somebody's near your phone.
Right.
And also the location was pretty great. So when I went back out to my car, I was two full rows away. And these are pretty wide rows of cars. So I had mine, this is weird to describe, but you know, a normal row has like a left and right side of cars.
Yeah.
I was parked on the right-hand side of that row. Then there was a full, there was like the path driveway part, then another two rows of cars there, then another opening, and then I was on that left row of cars coming up on it. And it immediately showed me, hey, your car is within range.
Hmm.
And by the time it was able to notify me, hey, you're within range, I was able to look around and see where my car was. So if I didn't know where my car was, I'd be able to walk around and at least get close to it, even if nobody else was sending a signal back. So I thought that was interesting on how useful this was to maybe find your car if it was parked somewhere. Probably not, again, not anti-theft devices, but if your thief has an iPhone and you tucked this under your seat or something, could be useful in that case too. But the precision finding I thought worked well both for something big like my car getting somewhat close range, and then in my house I was able to have my wife just hide my keys, and then I was able to kind of just walk around my house until it connected, and then once it did connect, I was able to kind of point it and get towards where it was. I know Wes, he had a similar situation. He was trying to find his dad's keys, and his dad like dropped them somewhere, and he was luckily he had put an AirTag on there, and he just walked around their property like outside and around the car and stuff like that, and eventually it connected and was like, oh, it's close. And then he was able to use the precision tracking to hone in on at that last, you know, however much range that is. So it does seem useful enough in various situations. I thought the range of it was very good. I don't think the speaker is very loud. I did some testing with a decibel meter, and I got about 85 on the max.
Right.
Tile is looking like 129 or 130 decibels on their highest end. But you have to give Apple credit for what they did. If no one saw the teardown, they're actually using that plastic, the plastic front of it. That's like the driver or the diaphragm of the speaker. So there's actually like the magnetic coils on there, and it makes that plastic essentially vibrate to make the noise.
That's pretty wild.
So they don't have a regular speaker in there like Tile and the other ones have, because those ones sound like literal garbage. And I'm sure Apple did not want to put a tinny, crappy speaker in, so these are quieter, but the chirp does sound better than, like, it just sounds like a higher quality, even if it is quieter. So good or bad, I'll let you guys decide if you'd prefer like higher quality versus louder, but that's kind of what Apple's been doing.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. We'll have to report back and kind of see real life examples in the future. And if someone lost them, I saw that there was some person who like mailed an AirTag to themselves and tried to track it or something like that. Did you see that article?
No, but that sounds very interesting.
Yeah. So I'll try to find that to a link in the show notes, but it was pretty cool. But anyway, AirTags, you know, $29. You can try one and see what you think about it. Again, use a replaceable battery, which I really enjoy that, you know, it'll have longevity. You don't have to think about sending it away or getting some replacement professionally. So pretty cool.
Oh, I forgot one other thing that is missing on AirTag.
And yeah.
This is maybe not as crucial, but I still think there's something that could be done here. Is I kind of wish there was something with shortcut support.
Oh, yes. That would be nice. Maybe iOS 15.
I don't know. There's a lot of things that we're kind of banking on in iOS 15 at this point.
True.
I think a lot of these things should have been in the freaking version of AirTag that shipped. After such a long, you know, development process, to not have basic features that others have is crazy. And I'm pretty sure Eddie Q did an interview where he said they were open to modifying AirTag features, you know, based on how people use it. So it's definitely a possibility for features to come to this. But I hate just banking and hoping that some of these features are going to show up. I mean, I'm still going to use AirTag, and I still think they're better than a lot of the other options out there in terms of like their performance and all that, but there's just like a lot of missing features for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I had one Tile tracker still on my keychain, and I stopped using it. I threw it away. I don't know if that's bad. Are you supposed to recycle those? I don't even know.
Yeah, there's a recycling program. Some of the older ones, I mean, it took them like years before they got to replaceable batteries.
Whoopsie.
But then they do have replaceable batteries in the new ones. And they've even like little subscription programs that'll automatically send you new batteries as they go low and nice stuff like that.
Gotcha. Whoopsie. All right, cool. So going on to listener questions, I had Ed email me asking about light switches. We've talked about lots of light switches before. He needs them to be dimmable, and reliability was really one of his big factors. He wants them to be reliable. So when it comes to dimmable switches, you know, you do have some Maris switches. You have the Wemo switches. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Eve has a dimmable switch. Is that right?
Eve does not have a dimmable switch.
I thought that was interesting. I assumed they did, but when I looked, they don't have one. Anyway, so those, you know, some of your big options there. I don't have a Wemo dimmable switch. I have a regular Wemo light switch, and that works very well. It's been connected, pretty reliable. But for Ed, I recommended the Lutron switches. I've spoken about them before. It does require a hub, so you do have that you need. But when it comes to reliability, I have just never had a Lutron light switch go dark on me, or I've not been able to control it. It's just been super reliable, easy to use, and you got the Pico remotes, you know, if you want some physical controls besides the actual light switch, which also has buttons and, you know, dimmable arrows plus on off, you know, they're not the most aesthetically pleasing light switches, maybe compared to Eve or Wemo. But if reliability is what you're looking for, I just really can't speak more highly of the Lutron light switches. So another listener email, this is from Ian, and he's going all out doing a whole house outfitting. You know, we've had a couple people talking about this. And so he wants to do everything HomeKit, you know, light switches, contact sensors, but he does not want to have to do battery powered things as much as possible. And so he's looking for low latency and hardwired solutions for wall switches, motion sensors, door sensors, and, you know, window sensors. And was also asking about Ethernet for outdoor video cameras, which we've talked about that on the previous episode. There is no HomeKit outdoor camera with an Ethernet jack to do Ethernet directly, unfortunately, maybe one day. But in regards to the other things, you know, with wall switches, I would definitely just go with the in-wall wall switches that are connected to the power. Again, I just spoke about Lutron. When it comes to reliability, I've never had an issue with them. But as far as the other items, whether it's a motion sensor or contact sensor for like doors and windows, I do not believe that there are powered options. Everything is battery operated. Sorry, I just don't think you're going to find anything like that. Do you have any other thoughts?
Yeah, so here's what I can... Yeah, I agree. There's only battery-powered contact sensors.
Yeah.
For motion sensors, dedicated motion sensors, all battery-powered. But if you're getting it built into a camera, then those can be hardwired. So if you got the Eve Cam, a Bode Iota, the Ecobee Smart Camera, the Logitech Circle View, all of those guys, they work with HomeKit Secure Video, and you can put them on to like privacy mode when you're home, where they only are used for detecting motion and the cameras are completely disabled. So there's stuff like that you can do that would be completely hardwired. The other option is for the most contact sensors, I think, are probably a year or so maybe for battery life. Do you think right. That's fair?
Yeah, I would think so, at least.
Okay. Well, the Abode sensors that we just kind of talked about, they have got ridiculous battery life. Hmm. The standard door and window sensor from Abode, 10 years on a single battery.
Okay.
The mini one is about 4 years. There's a recessed one. So if you've got a literally nothing, like you have no space at all between your door and frame or anywhere to put anything, you can completely recess this in. And I'm not sure how long that one lasts. And there's the slim strip sensor. But their battery life is far beyond what your normal one is, because they're communicating like directly with the Abode system versus connecting to like over Bluetooth or something like that. So their stuff has a little bit more, has just longer battery life, but you have to have, of course, the Abode system. They also have their motion sensor 5 years on a battery. If he wants to go with like the Abode and have that as a HomeKit security system plus his hub for his contact sensors and motion sensor, that'd be pretty much the best way to go without having to, I don't know, that's pretty much your option without having a really slow or really fast time to replace the batteries.
All right, so someone answered your call about the bulb fitting into your ceiling fan issue and had a thought there. Were you able to try this?
So I've had a few people sending me things in. The one I have in our notes here is from Gary. And a lot of, I must not have been clear enough about my specific issue, because these solutions would work, but they don't solve my exact problem. And my problem is there is no, I'm looking for a way to put a HomeKit bulb into my ceiling fan, because I don't want to use my Brilliant wall switch, because I'm trying to control the two separately. Like that one switch controls two different light fixtures at the same time, and I want to be able to control them separately, independent of one another, and I want to be able to adjust their brightness independently.
Oh, okay.
The problem is I was originally going to put in the Hue bulbs, and I got a pile of the Hue candelabra style bulbs to go in our front doorway. And then I ordered some of the Hue filament bulbs. They have three different models or sizes available, and all the standard base, like the E27 base or whatever, but they have different, like, one's like a round globe, one's a smaller regular size bulb, and one's like a longer one. None of them fit in the glass covers that go over my ceiling fan. So, like, Gary was saying, oh, why don't you take, like, a GU10 bulb and then connect it to, like, an E27 adapter and plug that in? Would work if there was a filament GU10 bulb around. I could probably just use a regular bulb, but the filament ones look really, really nice in there. Like, they've got, they're supposed to be hanging down. They got this glass, like, jar over top of them. And if I put in, like, an ugly white bulb, it wouldn't look nearly as nice. So the idea was to put in a filament HomeKit connected bulb. And the only filament bulbs are too large to fit in the stupid jars that go around the ceiling fan. So I appreciate everyone sending me, like, different solutions, but I still can't find anything that will, if there was, like, a GU10 bulb or a smaller bulb, or even, like, a candelabra-style bulb that was filament, I could put that into, a E27 adapter and put that in. Those would fit, but I haven't found even, like, a candelabra-style bulb that would fit in here. So I'm still stuck.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listeners, answer the call if you have any ideas. All right, and one final question about AirTags again. This is from Luke. Andrew, take it away.
Yeah, we touched on this a little bit earlier in our bigger discussion on AirTag, but he was wondering, essentially, his concern is, my wife and I, they want to both have AirTag, but when they travel together, there's no family sharing. So they can't find their individual items, and he also is worried that they're going to end up getting notifications all the time saying they're being tracked by an unknown AirTag. And there's a few things here that I wanted to kind of clear up. He was basically just asking for our thoughts on this. So one, correct, there's no family sharing. Your wife can't find your bag. You can't find your wife's bag. Out of luck until Apple changes something. The other part of that is the notifications. So from my understanding, based on some of the interviews that Apple execs had given, is those will show up after about 3 days, not like immediately. Mm-hmm. And they'll only show up when you return to a common or known location. So they're only going to alert you of that, like, when you come home and it's like, hey, that thing just followed you home. You should probably know that something just followed you home.
Right.
So if you're traveling and you're abroad, there's no common location. So it's not going to send you an alert.
Mm.
There should not be just errant alerts going off and notifications that you're being tracked by an unknown tracker. Additionally, I believe with family sharing, anyone who is in your family sharing can disable those unknown tracker alerts when they're coming from, you know, your other half. So those should not be problems. Obviously, we want to get something more prominent with family sharing, be able to actually find each other's items and stuff like that. But the alerts aren't going to be a problem. Apple is still, I think, kind of figuring out how to deal with the privacy stuff here and, like, the stalking things here, but none of this is new. Like, I mean, Tile and everyone else has been doing the same things with less privacy features for a long time. I mean, anyone else could have theoretically put a Tile in someone's bag and, you know, track them that way as well. Right. But Apple makes it a little bit easier by using any iPhone, iPad, or Mac to send back that location to the owner. So hence their privacy alerts in there that you're being followed by that AirTag.
Gotcha. All right, well, listeners, again, answer the call to Andrew's bulb problem. Let us know what you thought of AirTags or any other HomeKit projects you got going on that you'd like to share. You can tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. Don't forget to check out all the videos going up on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Apple Insider. Subscribe and hit the bell there to get notified of new videos. And if you haven't yet, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to check out Apple Insider Daily and the Apple Insider Podcast. You can find those links in show notes as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.